I'm not sorry I killed you guys because I didn't actually kill you guys. I wiped you out and spared your lives. I spared your miserable lives.
That's true.
And then, what do? You leave.
I know. Okay. We're clearly at fault here.
Right.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
But how about with the Penny Arcade and PvP games?
Again? I spared them? So, it's interesting because when I used to play 2nd Edition, I would always fudge die rolls as a DM. How many hit points do you have left? Okay, I'm going to roll damage now. Oh, look, it's less than that.
Right.
And I don't do that anymore. I haven't done it since the launch of 3rd Edition. I play the dice as they lie. As they lie. Because I believe in the balance of the game. And, you know, you guys were rolling just terrible.
Yes. We do that at home, too, so.
You were playing the fighter, right? The dwarf.
Yes.
So the best part of that last fight is your last attack against the hag. You're like, oh wait, I have this magic item. I'm going to activate its property and do extra frost damage. And if that die had come up like anything but a one, you could have taken her out.
I know. If that was fate, though, like when everything depends on a die roll, it's either going to be a 20 or it's going to be a 1. You know.
Yep. We did have the ranger that rolled 2 20s.
That was
spectacular.
Could have saved your lives, but then you tanked.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it happens. So, do you get to sort of get tapped to celebrity DM a lot since you are the DMG guy?
It's beginning to happen more.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because I'm really self-conscious about it. Because when I do it now, I'm like, okay, am I doing everything I said you should do in the Dungeon Master's Guide? I don't think I am. You know, there were a lot of times when I'm just like, okay, the Hobgoblin swings at you, it's a 17, that's a miss, all right, let's move on. I mean, not trying to narrate that in any way. And partly, you know, you go with what the audience is doing and audience, see?
Yeah.
I think of that as performing for an audience.
Right.
But DMing your home games.
In the DMG, like, everyone should be having fun, you're not.
Right.
The group.
Right.
But yeah, there you are. So, how'd you get set to write the DMG?
Fluke of scheduling.
Huh.
So, and I've been basking in adulation all weekend, which is very nice, but I can't take all the credit for that book. Chris Sims and Dave Noonan did a lot of work before it came to me in laying out the outline of the book, and Chris really in setting the tone of the book. And some of the formatting things that we did to make the pages easier to work with. And Dave laid some of the mechanical foundations that, particularly Chapter 10, but also the traps and stuff were built on.
Right.
Rich Baker wrote the Falcrest part, and Mike Merles did the Cobalt Hall adventure. And the development team as a whole is responsible for the DM's Toolbox chapter more than anything else. Plus, you know, I've had people now telling me that I'm the best DM in the world, which is absolutely not true, because Chris Perkins is. But Chris Perkins sits just across the hall from me, so I got a lot of advice from him. Like, when I got to the part about creating a dungeon setting, Sims had sketched in some notes on that section, and I didn't really feel like it was coming together, and I went to Chris and said, can you talk to me about this? Help me brainstorm. And it was his... He gave me that nugget of the setting's personality as being what's key to defining a cool setting. Talked about how he thinks about that.
And you were able to just run a bit from there.
Right. Plus, I also drew a lot from the Dungeon Master for Dummies book for 3rd edition that Rich Baker and Bill Slavicek did. In terms of their approach and often in terms of specific content.
And you got tapped to write that for the 4th edition version, right?
Right. So then when... Wiley Publishing wanted to update that book. They asked Rich and Bill to do it as they had done for the D&D for Dummies, and they didn't have time. And so Bill said, hey, James, can you do this? I said, no, but I really want to. And so I did, and still making up for it with other projects, like getting my next novel done.
Yes. Can you tell us at all what you're working on, or at least what you have in the pipeline?
So in my day job, mostly wrapped up work on the Eberron Campaign Guide and the Eberron Player's Guide. They've just gone over to development. And I'm doing a writing pass on the Player's Handbook 2,
okay.
which has just come out of development. I'm working on it concurrently with the editors. Right now, they're focusing on getting all the powers that are in the book formatted properly and cleaned up, while I'm massaging, or in some cases, just writing text to introduce the classes. I've finished a pass on the racist chapter, mostly.
Which includes...
some new races.
All right.
Let's see, we've talked about gnomes and half-orcs and Goliaths and shifters publicly, okay. So I can talk about those four.
Fair enough, yeah. Anything you can tell us about gnomes coming back now that they've gained such a huge following? Do they have badger minions?
Well, there is a mention currently in the race description about their fondness for burrowing animals such as badgers.
Okay.
We'll see if the editing team leaves that in. I don't think it's outrageous. And I like the way they came out in writing them. I was building on what we did in the Monster Manual and describing what they're like and the principles that we kept in mind as we designed the mechanics for the race. You know, the reactive stealth thing really kind of summarizes what they're about. They get by in a very dangerous world by hiding. And it's pretty darn cool. Especially, actually, it works really nicely with the revision to the stealth rules.
The ones that came out recently, yeah. And the errata.
Yep. Yeah. Which are available on the D&D Compendium before they were in print in the errata.
Yeah, the internet noticed, you know.
Yes.
That stuff gets around quickly.
The internet notices everything.
Yeah. Can't slip anything by it. So the other thing I know we wanted to talk about was in the DMG, there's some snippets of sort of the implied setting stuff. Cosmology is a big one, but also sort of the points of light feel, at least. There's actually a lot more Worlds of Monsters material that didn't make it into that book.
Right.
Is any more of that going to come out in any ways? You know?
Probably not in any kind of organized way. I mean, compiled way, I guess is a better way of saying that. I don't foresee us doing a points of light campaign setting book.
Sure.
Designers and writers are working on new stuff for every book we work on. They're often looking at that material in the Worlds of Monsters book to draw on for resources. I know I've mentioned the Eladrin Empire of Sendrian a couple of times in stuff I've done recently, although no examples are springing to mind, and I probably shouldn't say them if they did. I know that Julia Martin was editing something and ran across a mention of the Yuan-Ti Empire, the human empire that became the Yuan-Ti, in another book, and couldn't identify it until, because it was misspelled in the document she was working on. And so she had searched Worlds of Monsters electronically and not found it. So she asked around and somebody pointed her to the right text. So that stuff is, yeah, that stuff is getting drawn on, and
so we'll see tidbits of it in different things.
Right.
Like,
really, the way that I think about it is, it's a context for the world that you make. As I'm, you know, writing the Dungeoncraft columns for Dungeon Magazine and developing my own little world, you know, around this village, and okay, off this way there's the burnt forest, and over here are the mountains, and this river, and halflings, and City of Silvery Moon, and all that stuff. I assume that exists in the implied setting. I have no idea where in some world it might be in relation to the region that's detailed in the Dungeon Master's Guide. Presumably it's on the same world, because they have the same history of this empire of Bael-Tarrath and Arcosia. But, you know, where were they? I don't know.
To the left.
Right. Down. But then things like the City of Vorkhragal article that was just in Dragon Magazine that Nick Loeb wrote, I think. I hope. That's an expansion of stuff we've said about Bael-Tarrath. It's a ruin that you can go explore and build adventures around. Where is it? Dunno. You know, if you've run the H-Series adventures and you want to send your characters to Vorkhragal, maybe they go west, maybe they go east to get there, and...
That's been a big push, sort of the Dungeoncraft style of building as you
okay, there's two ways to think about world building. One is top down and one is bottom up. And I realized I don't want to tell people to do it top down, because that is not the most efficient use of your time as a new dungeon master in particular. If you have lots of time to prepare a world, and if that's what you like doing,
if you're a professional,
right? I mean, and you know, that's what I did long before I really had dreams of being a published game designer. Is I built my world that's still my freaking domain name because I'm that much of a geek. as almost a, you know, there's no other, probably no other place in the world where there's a market for a book that's. Imagine a world like this, and here's what I'm going to tell you about it, as if it were a textbook. You know, right. Maybe a very interesting textbook, right? But who's going to go read geography about a place that doesn't exist? Why would people do that? They're going to do that because they want to use it in their game. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily in the best interests of your home game to start thinking that way.
That makes sense. One thing that you've discussed is the Conan adjustment.
Yeah, because actually I just read a collection of the Fool Wolf stories that ran in Dragon Magazine some years ago by Greg Keyes, which are very much in the flavor of Robert E. Howard's Sword and Sorcery. A very primitive world. Really strongly like ancient Near Eastern flavor to the civilization and then barbarian tribes that Fool Wolf is part of. And, I just love the flavor of those stories, and it got me thinking about the kind of game that I could run using the 4th edition rules pretty much unmodified, you know, to say, you know what, don't play an arcane character. I'm not sure about divine characters even, and we can make a party of four martial characters and get along just fine until we run into hordes and hordes of minions. But that's pretty cool, because Conan facing a horde of minions.
That's in the genre, for sure.
He's got some things he can do, too.
Right. Hopefully when the barbarian comes out, that'll play into it.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I remember the game that I'm playing in, that Mike Merles is running. I'm playing a fighter, and I made sure to take a couple of... I guess when we hit third level, I made sure that my encounter power was a multiple target attack power, just so that I had some ways of dealing with those situations.
Right.
As well as my Thunder Wave, but that's just for marking, because I never hit with it.
Right.
So then, a party of entirely martial characters, you get that real magic is evil flavor. We can build evil sorcerers without using the sorcerer class or the wizard class, just as monsters. Here's the crazy stuff they do because they've got the power of set or whatever. And then they're using rituals as plot device or as something you need to interrupt as they're going, or game effects that might show up as the characters are adventuring. The ritual system, I started flipping through the Call of Cthulhu D20 book, which treated all these D&D spells as rituals. I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And then you put crazy names on some of them, because Robert E. Howard totally wrote in the tradition of Lovecraft and all his crazy monster guys, very much that cosmic horror, but put up against them a hero that could deal with it. In some way, as opposed to Lovecraft's,
which is just your screw,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I find much more enjoyable as an RPG experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I like playing Call of Cthulhu once in a while.
You gotta know what you're doing when you go into it,
right?
Yeah. So it sounds like you definitely don't think that would be a supplement book. You can really play it with the base 4th edition, just like modified.
We could do it as a setting book someday. I'm not saying we're gonna, because. It's just an idea I have of a game I want to run.
Yeah. Do you think that once Martial Power comes out, you might really want to run that game as a fan blog about it?
So, I'm probably going to write another Dungeon Craft article soon talking about all the games that I want to run and not fleshing out, because I've been doing all this work in Dungeon Craft of fleshing out this campaign with the idea that I'm going to run it, and I haven't had time to start running it yet. And so I'm running out of stuff to talk about in terms of preparing the campaign.
Right.
So my thought is that I'm going to take a little break from that and write about the campaigns that I'm not currently preparing to run before I actually do manage to start running the one I'm supposed to be running and writing about. So I'll write some about it, you know, maybe someday when I have more time and my novels
are done. Or somebody else will run with it and they can tell you how cool it is.
Yes.
And you'll be like, damn.
Or maybe I want to play in that game. That's the thing about Martial Power is that my reaction right now is, oh, I want to revive my Ranger from Bill Slavicek's playtest game and give him the new Ranger build, and
right.
that will be really, really cool.
Well, it looks like your throngs of fans are beating down the door, even though there is no door. But to close it, you know, just personally, would you recommend that DMs explore all the great DMing advice there is on, say, blogs or...
What a fabulous idea. It's someplace called, Critical Miss? No, Critical Hits?
Or other places, you know, in general.
Some cool, interesting, and inspiring bloggers this weekend. Present company not excluded. So absolutely, go
great.
Check that stuff out. I know I will be.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.